Radio Free Tatooine presents Galactic War Report, a Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes podcast.
Boshuda, fellow Hollow Table Hustlers, you're tuned into Galactic War Report, a Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes podcast that's better than some and worse than others. I'm Sean, a.k.a. the other Sean, and there's no one else but me here, so you get to deal with this. No, Josh had something come up, so I said, you know what? I could talk about Captain Enoch for an hour. Let's do it. That's really the news this week, is Captain Enoch, the last of the new Imperial troopers that aren't Empire or Imperial trooper kind of faction, is being released. As I record, he'll be released tomorrow, but by the time this comes out, we'll all have an Enoch on our roster. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about this new Lightspeed bundle with Ki Adi Mundi. Are you kidding me? Probably the most pain in the butt character to acquire in this game right now. And they're just going to let people skip the line for a little bit of cash. And I think that's very exciting. We also got the next set of requirements for Galactic Legend Ahsoka. And there's just a couple other little updates that have popped. So we're going to talk about all that, as well as, I guess I always say we. I'm going to talk about all that, as well as a couple other things throughout the week. The Grand Arena, the raid, the whatever else has been going on. But first and foremost, because this show can get a little spicy sometimes. I had a real bad Grand Arena today. I'm just going to let you guys know. We'll talk about it more later. But I had a really bad Grand Arena. I streamed it on Twitch, and it was monumentally bad. It was like the Trump-Musk interview, basically. It was that level of technical failures and just an absolute circus. So we'll get there. But first, let's have some positivity. Let's celebrate some Blurf Days. All right, we got a couple of them this week. We have, on the 16th, we have the Executor turning 3 years old. 3 years of executing. Executing? I don't know. But 3 years old. On the 18th, we also have, we've got two on the 18th. We have Emperor Palpatine, the second legendary character, and I want to say might have been only the only legendary character that I unlocked. No, I got R2 also. I was going to say the first time it ran, like the first time Yoda ran, that was the first legendary character released. I didn't have enough Jedi to do it. The game was brand new and I couldn't do it. When Palpatine came out, and you just needed Jedi? Or, I'm sorry, not Jedi, Rebels? Yeah, smoked him. Got it. That was awesome. And he was, I mean, he's good character. Mass stun is super helpful. The shock and the turn meter train, excellent. And if you need health steal up for conquest, he's your dude. But, When he came out, I was on vacation with my family and I just like went in the bathroom for 5 minutes and boom, walked out with an Emperor Palpatine. The other one is Skiffgard Lando turning 2 years old. I thought it was longer than that, but I guess, yeah, 2 years was when the Jabba team first released. And Skiffy, you know, he's kind of like the one guy that kind of gets left out of my Jabba team in Rise of the Empire because he's only Relic 5. You could leave him out on the crate raid and you could do like an undersized squad. I got real used to that and I never relic'd him up to match. So he's Relic 5. He can participate in day one of Rise of the Empire. But then he's done. So happy Blurf Day anyways. So I should take him up to Relic 8 someday. But Lord knows we all got projects. So let's take a look at this week's upcoming in-game events brought to you by SWGOHevents.com. For a complete list of past, present, and future events, SWGOHevents.com is a universe of info in a galaxy of heroes. This week, you guys, it's loaded. Fortunately, we have the trade-off on Monday. We're done with Conquest, and we get Rise of the Empire. That's just the way it really just always ought to be. It should never have both of those things start at the same time on the same day. That's torture. But this week on Friday, the 16th, we've got an Omega Battle on Hoth. We also have a Galactic Challenge. This will be bonuses for Scoundrels, and you're fighting against Sith. On the 17th, we've got Emperor's Demise Mythic event, as well as an Assault Battle, Ground War. That's your Rebels or Clones. Or is there something else? No, I think it's just Rebels and Clones. And then on the 18th, we've got Endor Escalation. The 19th brings us Grand Arena Season 56 Week 2 sign up. As well as, man, the 19th is jacked. So we've got Grand Arena sign up, right? We've got territory battles. This will be Dark Side if you're doing one of the earlier ones, or it's Rise of the Empire. We also have an Omega battle, and because Conquest is ending, we have Ultimate Journey and Proving Grounds. So we're gonna be busy. Additionally, on the 19th, Galactic Challenge. So get up early. Not too early. You got to wait for Bit Dynasty to put out his video, right? So wait for that. Check that out. Get your challenge done early. Get your dailies done early so that you can do your Rise of the Empire. And the Ultimate Journey stuff. I mean, that's... Ultimate Journey is one of those events to me that is like a pretty good balance of amount of effort you put in to the rewards you get. The rewards are good, and it's not an obscene amount of work. It's actually a kind of fun event. I like that. What else? On the 19th, we have those plus the Galactic Challenge. Yep. On the 20th, we have a Journey Guide Fleet Mastery event you may have heard of called Dark Sovereign. That's for your Leviathan blueprints. 21st is Duel of the Fates. I'm jacked about that. I keep saying jacked. I'm excited for that, I should say. Speak like a normal human. that's of course the assault battle that is just Master Qui-Gon and Padawan Obi-Wan. I have them both up to Relic 5 now, so I can do a little more. They're in my favorites. I want to take them both to Relic 9. I really do. But, you know, we're doing what we can. So that is on the 21st. On the 22nd, then, we have another Defense of Dathomir. We're getting real used to those, and I don't mind it. And then on the 22nd, we also have another Fleet Mastery. This is for Endurance. So it's a busy, busy week, but we're going to be, like I said, we're wrapping up Conquest. This is it. This is absolutely it. And for this set. So get what you can get. Get in there, get those Datacrons, get that Luthen Rail, and I'll see you next week when we can breathe a little more. I mean, we've got territory battles, which is arguably more work. But All right, before we dive into this week's top stories, I want to give a quick shout out to our fantastic Patreon supporters. If you enjoy what we do and you want to be part of our exclusive community, head over to patreon.com/galacticwarreport. Your support makes this podcast possible, and you'll even get access to the VIP section of our Discord server for some behind-the-scenes banter and possibly live Doth chats. Ooh. Now then, I guess I'll punch it. Okay, the big news is Captain Enoch, and we're going to get there, but I want to kind of like pick away at the other smaller stories here. One that just has been driving me nuts, and I thought it was me, and I think a lot of us were in this situation where we just kind of figured it was something we were doing or our device or something. Ability icons, like when you hold on ability icons in game, in the middle of a fight, it pulls up a little like bluish box that lists all of the status effects on that character. And if there's a bunch, you can scroll, but you can see them all and what they do. And that's super helpful. I don't use it in every battle, but when I use it, it's like clutch. It takes longer for that box to load. And man, does that sound like a first world problem. And it 100% is. However, it's all perspective, right? It's driving me insane. It's so weird. Like, I don't know if that's intentional or if that's just like something that got goofed, but it's really just irritating. So I don't know. The only reason I wanted to include that in this show is because if that's happening to you, know that it's not you. Don't uninstall, reinstall, don't upgrade your phone, don't whatever. It's just a weird thing that the game's doing right now. I saw a post about it on Reddit, and it made me so happy to see that so many other people were also confused about that. Not a huge thing. I do want to, let's see, I'll transition here into the Galactic Legend Ahsoka requirements. Because we got our second batch. And in the character announcement for Captain Enoch, I believe it was, that's where it was, it said that he was going to be required at Relic 7 for Galactic Legend Ahsoka. Okay. I mean, that's just, sure. The other thing was it had bonus info in that post that said Commander Ahsoka Tano would be required at Relic 9. So that's why you're seeing a lot of those in Arena, if you didn't know, because she's a requirement. So that is two Relic 9 requirements, and they are Snips and Cat. Now, there's one more batch of requirements coming out, and there is a good amount of fear that we're going to have to take Fulcrum Ahsoka to Relic 9. And I think I speak for like almost everyone when I say we don't wanna. I mean, come on. Relic 9 requirements are tough. Two Relic 9s is oof. But I think there's a pretty good chance we gotta take Fulcrum Ahsoka Tano up to Relic 9 as well. So don't do it. It isn't announced. This is my speculation. It's many people's speculation, many people's fears. But I really wouldn't be shocked if they ask that of us. It always goes up. You look at the requirements for Rey or for Supreme Leader Kylo Ren, and it looks like nothing. You know, you look at those and you're like, oh my, I could do this in my sleep, you know? So, it's always going to be moving higher and higher as the game goes on. The other requirements, though, that were announced are Death Trooper Peridia at Relic 7. We need a name for that guy. Bitey Boy? I don't know. At Relic 7, the Nibbler. I like that. The Nibbler. Let's go with that. At Relic 7. And then also Ezra Bridger needs to be at Relic 5, which seems like a breath of fresh air. Just 5. Okay. Cool. He was included in a Lightspeed bundle not that long ago. So if you picked that up, you have him at Relic 3. It's kind of mixed here because it's kind of a tough pill to swallow, because whatever your composition of your Phoenix team, when Phoenix originally came out, there were 6 of them. So you had to bench someone, and it was almost always Ezra. Then with the addition of Captain Rex, well, now you're benching another someone. So either Zeb or Chopper typically sits on the bench as well. So it's not like he's just like the 6th man on a Phoenix team. He's definitely the 7th. You don't need him. He's not needed for like very much at all. So that's kind of a stinker, but hey man, it's a Galactic Legend. We all took our Sith Marauders up to Relic 7 very begrudgingly, right? Or our BB-8s to Relic 7. And Marauder ended up being like kind of awesome at Relic 7, so I wasn't as mad about that. But they're going to ask you to do some difficult things to get these Galactic Legends, and I mean, that's just kind of the nature of it. So I'm interested to see what the next set is going to be. Almost certain Fulcrum's going to be in there. If she's not Relic 9, I will just scream and shout so happy. But I think that's probably going to be the case. Okay, one more thing before we get to Enoch. This week is a data mine popped up where Ki-Adi-Mundi has a Lightspeed bundle coming. So that's pretty exciting. It also included information about the, oh, I wish I could remember what it's called, like Jedi Allies or some such, like Jedi Super Friends. I don't know. That bundle is coming back as well. That's the one with Luminara, Kit Fisto, Plo Koon, basically the whole team that you use in the Battle for Naboo raid. And that was like a bundle that came out before the raid. I bought it. A lot of people bought it. It was probably, I haven't seen sales data on it, but I assume that was a pretty successful one for them, because it was a bunch of people that we didn't want to be taken to Relics. We really didn't. So that is coming back, which is awesome, because now we all know this raid. Like, that's a pretty killer team for it. But Ki-Adi-Mundi is interesting in that his Lightspeed bundle is just him. And I mean, that kind of makes sense. I could see them throwing in some kind of other unimportant Jedi. There's so many, you know. Give me a Consular or something like that. It, come on. It wouldn't hurt you. But it looks like it's going to be about $20. I don't have that confirmed, but the price looks to be around $20. And you are going to be getting him at Relic 5. So he'll fit right in if you bought that other Lightspeed bundle with them. Now, $20 for only one character could seem like a bad value, right? But it's all relative. So the big thing with Ki-Adi-Mundi is he is near impossible to get right now. You can spend get 3 currency on his shards, but it's going to take you forever to get there. And outside of that, you know, there was a time when his raid, the Geonosis raid, was really popular. I wrote a song about it, right? And so that time is gone, and top guilds are never going back to Geonosis. It's not going to happen. So there's this weird spot where you can newer players, and that does not mean new. That just means people who have not been playing this game every single day like me for close to 10 years. But people who weren't in that moment really don't have a good way to get him now, because they're not going to go to some guild that's playing Geonosis just to get Cam. And so there's a lot of people that just kind of were like, well, I guess I'll just get him in 5 years or whatever, however long it takes, whatever, we'll get him. So now they're giving you a chance to get him and slot him right into that team, because he's really good on that Luminara team. So I think it's a good value. I'm all for it. I am glad they're doing it. Now, if you have a relic for Cam, maybe this isn't the best deal for you. I think mine is relic 3, and I don't think I'll be doing it. No, mine must be relic 5, because, yeah, I took him to relic 5 because he had a Datacron back in the day. But yeah, and I use him on that Luminara team, so I must have him at relic 5. All right, the other big thing, I guess, let's get into it here. It is the one, the only, Captain Enoch. He is now in Galaxy of Heroes, and his kit is interesting, really interesting. I guess, really, when you look at it, every kit that comes out now is a little too interesting. A little hard to understand. But this guy plays with the Death Trooper and the Nibbler. I'm making it a thing. I'm just going with it. And he's like the leader of that team. So you've got those three, and then you could drop a couple other troopers on there. In their interview, they kind of mentioned, like, Scout works well, Stormtrooper works well, Dark Trooper works well. Doesn't synergize as well as the others because one of the abilities he doesn't get. But it's interesting, like, to think of the Dark Trooper Moff Gideon team not having Scout Trooper. Get out of here. There's no way. We're not splitting that up. So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. But he's definitely going to be, I think, 3v3, it's absolutely a Enoch, Death Trooper, or Night Trooper, sorry, and Nibbler. I'm there it is again. I'll just keep saying it until it's a thing. All right. This character is awesome. His kit design, like the actual visual, his helmet, all that kind of stuff is awesome. He's from the Ahsoka Disney Plus series, if you haven't seen it. It's worth checking out. It's not groundbreaking. I don't know a whole lot of people who would say it's their favorite Star Wars, but I'd say it's average Star Wars to me. So, you know, take that as a glowing endorsement. I love Star Wars, so I loved it, you know. All right, so his big thing here is he only has a couple moves, right? He has two moves, a leader ability, and a unique. That's it. So it's kind of interesting. Let's look. Let's go ability by ability. His basic is called Die Well, which I like. And it is deal physical damage to target enemy and remove 5% of their turn meter. If the target has blight, deal damage again. During Captain Enoch's turn, if target enemy has blight, Imperial Remnant allies gain critical damage up for one turn, and reduce the cooldown of Last Command by one. Last Command is his other maneuver, his one special. And this is, it's very cool looking. Like, Thrawn just kind of appears in front of him via, like, hologram and gives the Last Command. Dispel all debuffs on all Imperial Remnant allies, and they gain protection up 60% for two turns and 20% turn meter. and all enemies with Blight lose 5% turn meter. Allies with Decay gain crit avoidance up for 2 turns, and you call another random ally with Decay to assist, dealing 40% less damage. If all allies were Imperial Remnant at the start of battle, attackers gain advantage for 1 turn. Cool. I love it. I mean, the big thing really is the Dispel All debuffs is awesome. You need someone on your team that can do that. All right. His unique ability is called Ominous Sentinel. And this is an Omicron for territory battles. And it looks like maybe a good one. So we'll see. The other thing to keep in mind is these guys are all required at Relic 7. So for Rise of the Empire, and Scout Troopers are a requirement for Leia at Relic 7. So, like, yeah, okay, we're talking now. So Ominous Sentinel, his unique is Captain Enoch gains 75% defense for each other active Imperial Remnant ally. Sweet. Whenever an Imperial Remnant ally gains a stack of Decay, they inflict Blight on all enemies, which can't be copied, dispelled, or evaded until the end of the encounter. So that's whenever they gain Decay, they inflict Blight. Okay. Enemies excluding Galactic Legends have minus 450% crit chance. So, for any of you hotshots that think, well, that's cool, I've got a team that works off advantage anyways. Advantage only gives 200% crit chance, which throughout the history of the game means you're going to crit. I mean, unless they have crit immunity. Plus 200% crit chance means every hit's going to be a crit, right? No, not with minus 450% crit chance. So that's real, real hard to crit. At the start of each Imperial Remnant ally's turn, you dispel advantage from all enemies. So even if they had it, good grief, dispel advantage from all enemies, and those enemies lose 25% offense for 2 turns. I can already see I'm going to hate this team. I hate defensive teams, and this is a stupid defensive team. So while in territory battles, Imperial Remnant allies gain 150% max health. Whenever an Imperial Remnant ally is damaged by an enemy, other Imperial Remnant allies gain 5% turn meter. At the start of each encounter, Imperial Remnant allies gain protection up 200% for 3 turns, which can't be dispelled. Whenever an Imperial Remnant ally is defeated, they deal true damage to all enemies equal to 30% of their max health, plus an additional 30% of their max health per their Relic Amplifier level. This damage can't defeat enemies and can't be evaded. So that all that extra stuff I just said was just in territory battles. Thank God. I mean, that otherwise, if that was outside of territory battles, I would quit the game instantly without a thought. No way I'm playing this. No way. All right. Leader ability is Arbiter of Decay. And this is Imperial Remnant allies have plus 50% crit avoidance, plus 75% potency, and plus 15 speed. At the start of battle, if all allies are Imperial Remnant and no other allies are Empire with the leader tag, whenever another non-droid Imperial Remnant ally would be reduced to 1% health from a non-critical hit, if they have less than 9 stacks of Decay, they recover 100% of their health and protection and gain a stack of Decay, maximum of 9. Until the end of the battle, which can't be copied, dispelled, or prevented. Non-droid Imperial Remnant allies are immune to healing immunity. So, I mentioned earlier that Dark Trooper doesn't fully synergize. It's just because he doesn't get this ability. Everything else is pretty legit. And anyone who's spent time playing with Dark Trooper knows that, like, he's kind of amazing. So I don't think that it's going to be a problem to slide him over to this team. Let's see, what else do we have? During his turn, if he uses Die Well, his basic, if an Imperial Remnant ally has less than 3 stacks of decay and less than 50% health, he deals true damage to them equal to 100% of their max health, which can't be evaded. So, he kills him off and brings him back. Kills him off, brings him back. Allies with decay have plus 50% crit avoidance and tenacity, and plus 150% max health. Whenever an Imperial Remnant ally gains a stack of decay, they taunt for one turn, and Imperial Remnant tank allies taunt for one turn. Decay gives them minus 10% health limit per stack, and they can't do health steal. So, there's a lot going on, but it seems to me, more than anything, like, this is just kind of a brick wall. You can't crit them, and don't try to jack up your crit numbers. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. And they're so thick, and they don't die. Instead, they just do what they did in Ahsoka and fall down for a second, pop back up tougher. So it's probably going to be one of my least favorite things in the game, is my guess. It'll be used on defense. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that this is going to be a defensive staple. So get used to it. What's going to beat it? Man, I don't know. True damage. True damage is good. Right? I think. I don't know. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be an absolute mess. But, yeah, that's coming out as I record. That's coming out tomorrow. So we'll all go through the event by the time this releases. All right. So what else do we have for you today? Conquest. I'm in a spot in Conquest where I kind of, like, I bought all the shards of Luthen from all the little shops. And if you recall, I max created the first run. So 2 conquests ago, I got second to last crate last time. And this time I'm only shooting for second to last crate because I bought all of his stuff and I got the pass. And I'm at a spot right now where I don't need to get max crate. And I would much rather just get to where I'm going to unlock him and focus on Data Kronz. I am severely under-cronned. I probably have like 11 or 12 from this set, which is not good because we're almost done being able to farm from this set. So I really need to focus there. I don't have that Kenobi Kron, but I will report this for Josh. He got it, and it is his favorite thing in the world. The Omicron for Padawan Kenobi, Padawan Obi-Wan, that is for Conquest. You know, you look at it and you're like, Conquest Kron. No, it's, he absolutely loves it. He sent me some pictures. You just start the battle with all the buffs. The enemies have all the debuffs, and that just makes those Conquest feats so much easier. Plus, obviously, tilts the battle in your favor. So that's really cool. I am at, actually, I can tell you right here, I'm at 548. And my goal for that second to last crate is only 578. I want to get second to last crate. And I need to pick up those last 2 Luthen shards that are on the conquest path. So I'm not too worried about it. I need 30 more, I think. Something like, no, I did the math wrong. I don't know. I'm not far from it. I'll tell you that. So that's going pretty well. Now, I said that we were going to talk about the raid. We're absolutely not talking about that. I have nothing to report. I will be doing my raid attempts after the show. But I do want to talk about Grand Arena for a second here. And the absolute disaster that was my stream today. I'm excited. It's 5v5 again. Let's go. I love this. This is my jam. And then it was just the worst. It was absolutely painful. I went in, let's see, my first match. I thought, golly, how am I going to do this? I don't know. They put everything on defense, and Jedi Master Kenobi on defense is like, I'll say it. I just think that's a jerk move. Don't do that. Don't do it. Mm-mm. Because like nothing beats it. Nothing beats it. I sent in Supreme Leader Kylo with his Kron and got murdered. So I did all this careful planning and then just got absolutely demolished. And so like all my planning's right out the window. And then I thought, okay, so if anything else is going to beat it, it's going to be my Jedi Master Kenobi. That is the only other way I'm going to beat this. And their cat was faster than my cat and deleted my cat. And that's not fun. When those two things happen, it's not fun. And I know that like you could mod her faster or you could do this different or whatever. There's like, yes, I know that there is some agency. I accept some responsibility for this, but Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes is not a fun game. That's the issue. It should be. It can be. That Padme Datacron needs to go away, and I know it's going to, but it's terrible. Nothing beats her. Nothing beats her. Reliably, I guess. I know. Yes, you can beat her. It does happen, and, you know, whatever. But that's the reality of Grand Arena is you put all this work into this game to get all these toys and you get in there and you're like, all right, let's go. And you do one fight and the whole thing is for nothing. So this is 3 days of you join, you set up, you attack. And in one battle, my fate is decided for 3 days worth of gameplay. And I know how salty this sounds. I know. I don't care. It's bad. So CG, stop building stuff like that. Stop it with the brick wall teams. Enoch's going to do it too, and it's going to upset me. I just absolutely know that that's the case. So that was my Grand Arena. Now, additionally, I take responsibility for this. I tried to take out Leia with Bane. And I was looking on .gg, but I was so demoralized that I forgot to tell it no Datacron because it was thinking I had the old Bane Cron. So I get that. But I mean, at that point, once you've lost Supreme Leader Kylo and Jedi Master Kenobi and gained nothing, you have lost. There's two battles and you 100% have lost this. There's no way I can win. I scored a total of 133 points. So my opponent is what's his name? Raxelworks or something. It's Ralex Works. If you are listening to this, just attack me like twice and you'll win. That's it. That's all you got to do. I mean, maybe I'll get bored in the morning and do a couple easier battles, like throw a Galactic Legend against Finn or something stupid for fun, you know? But yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it. Sorry to bring it down like that. But, you know, honestly, I think about this game sometimes and it's, I'm going to have a an old man moment here. It's not the game I fell in love with. It's just not, you know, it's changed so much over the, what, 8 years, 9 years almost that it's been out. It has changed so much. And some of that's really good. Like the structure of Grand Arena, I like. The you got a day to sign up, day to set defenses, and whatever. Like Grand Arena is a good thing. Datacrons, in theory, good thing. Because they add a little variety. I like that so it doesn't get stale. But like, it's the power creep of it all. It's too complex. I'm putting it all out there for you guys, because maybe you feel the same and maybe I'm just dumb. I accept that that's possible too, but I never know what's going on in a battle. I know that this team's supposed to beat that, and I know bits and pieces of what the kits do. Like I try to learn the important parts, right? But like, you never just fight a whole battle understanding what's happening, because everything's so over the top and complicated. So the only reason I'm digging into that is because the only way to combat that complexity is to make something that is just unbeatable. Like I have an ability that just ignores all damage, so find a different way to beat me. You know, those kind of things. And I did not have fun at Grand Arena today. There, we're done. Let's move on. 133 points. So I'm just going to ask myself, since no one's here to really inquire, to interview me. I'm going to ask myself, Sean, who are you grinding? And I swear I am looking at this list and I'm not seeing that much. I haven't done anything that cool in the last week. All I could discern really was I took Commander Ahsoka Tano from Relic 7 to Relic 9, as that is a necessary thing to do. I did apply a Zeta to Morgan Elsbeth. And then I took Thrawn from Relic 6 to Relic 7. I think that's about it. I've been like stockpiling gear, you know, and Zetas is sort of not great. I didn't need that Morgan Elsbeth one yet, but I did it because I'm goofy. And the rest, it's like not sexy, you know? It's just I've been building up signal data just because going to Relic 9 takes a lot. So I did that once. And now, you know, I'm what's in my favorites is all the new Night Sister / Trooper stuff. And then Padawan, Obi-Wan, and Master Qui-Gon, because I want to take them up beyond. I have them both at Relic 5. I want to take them up to 9, but like this other stuff does kind of get in the way of some of that. And it's kind of silly because you can't even farm the stuff yet, but you know me, I like to do things the hard way if at all possible. I did get a Iden Versio Datacron today, so that's cool. I like that. It's the better of the two. I don't remember. It's the one where she like keeps taunting. She taunts at the start of the battle, which is cool because if she dies, she comes right back like a night trooper. All right, that's all we got for you this week. It may not be the best advice, but at least we didn't recommend you stream your worst video game experience ever for the whole world to see. It's still up on my Twitch. I'm going to leave it up. If you want to continue the conversation, join our Discord server, linked in the show description. You can become a real live Jawa by supporting us on Patreon and share your thoughts by leaving us a podcast review. Big thanks also go out to Pabu Abba and SWGOH.gg and SWGOHEvents.com for providing all the hard data we misinterpret weekly. Thanks for tuning in, and may the Force and RNG be with you.